Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Great job, Trey Gowdy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. We are live tonight, and coming up on the show, what a lineup. Congressman Derek Van Orden. Not only are we going to be talking about him in Washington, but what he did as a Navy SEAL and his operations in Venezuela in the past, how it relates to what we just saw over the last 48 hours. Saved Senator Dave McCormick. He was on an operation in Panama for George H.W. Bush when he was a captain. He's going to talk about now as a sitting senator and where we go from here as a member of Armed Services. And Sid Rosenberg. Why is our new mayor weighing in on foreign policy? Yeah, New York City mayor and foreign policy doesn't usually mix. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. More than 20 years, the top three national security threats, I would say, facing the United States have lingered, they've languished, and kicked down the road with half measures, flip-flopping strategies, empty threats and bad compromises, and in my view, flimsy deals. Three chronic dangers are clear. You got Iran's terror network and now nuclear ambitions. You got China's threat to Taiwan sovereignty. Every administration, seemingly every day. And right here in our backyard, Venezuela's communist narco state. In less than 1 year, Donald Trump has confronted all three. He's done it head on. First, he flooded Taiwan with a record $11 billion in weapons, making it crystal clear, by the way, he will not allow Beijing to roll over a free democracy. He took out Iran's nuclear program and made it clear he'll do it again if they try to rebuild. And 48 hours ago, he removed Venezuela's illegitimate corrupt strongman, a man with a massive bounty on his head, how about $40 million. He grabbed him out of his bed and he dropped him in an American prison about 15 miles from here.
The illegitimate dictator Maduro was the kingpin of a vast criminal network responsible for trafficking colossal amounts of deadly and illicit drugs into the United States. Hundreds of thousands over the years of Americans died because of him. Maduro and his wife will soon face the full might of American justice and stand trial on American soil.
Yep, and he's sitting in Brooklyn right now. Not a single U.S. soldier is lost. Now listen. There might be dicey days ahead. Maybe, maybe not. But let's be honest. We have never seen anything like this. This operation, so well planned, so well coordinated, so well executed. Think about it. Three long, festering foreign policy threats confronted directly. No equivocating, no weakness, no confusion. Not like Joe Biden, who cut oil deals with Maduro. Not like Barack Obama, who inked a disastrous deal with the Ayatollahs. And not like the past administration that would blurt out, we'll defend Taiwan, only to have the State Department walk it back and shrug and say, ignore Joe Biden. This time, there were three all crystal clear. There was clarity. From Pete Hegseth to General Kane to Marco Rubio to CIA's John Ratcliffe, this team coordinated, planned, and executed diplomatically, militarily, strategically.
This is not an invasion. We didn't occupy a country. This was an arrest operation. This was a law enforcement operation. He was arrested on the ground in Venezuela by FBI agents, read his rights, and removed from the country.
It was well orchestrated. Our military had time to set it up. He provided the resources, and then he took that bold stroke.
And they rehearsed. And yet, right on cue, critics on the left and even some on the right rushed to complain.
The Trump administration's been lying to the American people. This has never been about stopping drugs from coming to the United States.
Nobody asked for this because it has nothing to do with American national security.
The same Washington playbook that we are so sick and tired of that doesn't serve the American people, but actually serves the big corporations, the banks, and the oil executives.
So, of course, this was the military action. And pursuant to the Constitution, only Congress has the power to declare war, to authorize acts that take place in this regard.
Really disappointing. Here's what they don't get about this president. He didn't get this job to manage the job. He took the job. He earned the job to actually do the job. He ran on promises, foreign and domestic. And every time he checks a box, whether it's easy or hard, his critics say, that's not how it's done. They're right. That's not how in the past it's been done, because nothing's gotten done. And that's why we're looked at as weaker and weaker, even though we're actually very strong as a nation, economically and militarily. This president tries diplomacy first. He tries to get a deal done. Some deals he gets done. And when they fail, he acts. And if his critics at home still don't understand that, our enemies abroad better understand it, because when he puts Cuba on notice, they should listen. When he warns Iran not to shoot protesters, they should pause. And when he tells Vladimir Putin he is not happy, that matters. Call me naive, but I honestly thought just this once that most Democrats would support this mission, because it was right, because it protects American interests, because it helps the people suffering under tyranny in all three of these different countries. But with elections 11 months away, they just can't bring themselves to do it, apparently. My hope is this, that you understand out there what's happening, that these actions are not reckless. They are resolute, not political, but they're necessary. And for the first time in a long time, America's enemies are being forced to do something they haven't had to do in years. Face an America that is not afraid to use its military muscles when words don't work. Joining me now for more on this is retired U.S. Navy SEAL who conducted counterterrorist operations in Venezuela himself, the perfect guest, Congressman Derek Van Orden. Great to see you, Congressman. Put in perspective.
It's very good to see you, Bob.
Yeah, put in perspective the coordination and execution of this mission.
Brian, this is one of the most complicated and exquisite military operations that has ever been conducted in the history of warfare. So tying together space-based assets with naval vessels and rotary wing and fixed wing aircraft to set a corridor to get some barrel-chested, freedom-fighting American badasses on time, on target, in a rotary wing aircraft to seize the head of a state and arrest him and return him back to the United States without having a member of our military killed or loss of a military asset is going to go down in history. The annals of the Special Operations Forces. I mean, this is the stuff that legends are made of.
So we've watched this Pentagon and this president pull off the bombing of the Houthis to the point where they finally stop going after ships. We watch them execute the bombing mission in Iran to take out their nuclear program, and then we see this. But what do they try to do? They try to paint the Pentagon in disarray that Pete Hegseth's over his head. But look at the evidence. What do you think, Congressman?
This is what I think. President Donald J. Trump is the boldest president we've had, certainly in my lifetime, and possibly for the entire history of the United States of America. And all the people that are saying that Pete Hegseth didn't know what he was doing have just been proven to be fools. Everybody that said General Milley was an awesome chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff sure as hell hadn't heard of Raising Cain yet. So you've got the three best leaders in the most important positions to defend the United States of America that we've had in the history of our country. To pull off a midnight hammer in Iran, which everybody said they want to do forever. It took President Trump's bold, decisive leadership, and then it took the skills of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff being led by the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. I mean, this is the dream team to protect the United States of America. This is America first. This is peace through strength.
So you know Venezuela. What's it like? What was it like in the 90s when you were there? What is it like now?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we were doing counter-narcotics operations, not counter-terrorism operations, to be super clear. Caracas was... it was absolutely beautiful. It was like Manhattan after Giuliani cleaned that place up. And then we spent a month or so going up and down the Orinoco River and all over through the jungle. It's very, very harsh terrain. It is. But if you look at Venezuela now, they're eating their pets, and they're sitting on the highest oil reserve in the entire planet, and they can't seem to have bread in their stores. It is the classic example that socialism does not work. And the communist regime that was led by Maduro, after he took over from Hugo Chavez, has driven that country into the dirt. And it's time for a change. The Venezuelan people are celebrating the streets right now because they didn't want to live under the tyranny of the Maduro communist regime.
So it looks like at least 40 Venezuelans were killed. They could have been Cubans because those are the ones protecting Maduro. We had about six of our guys injured and all seemed to be fine. Talked to somebody who was intimately involved a short time ago. Critics are firing back at the operation. They're saying people like you should have been briefed ahead of time. Democrats are crying about it. Should you have been briefed? Should we have debated this on the Senate and House floor?
Brian, the only thing leakier than Congress is a sieve. So absolutely not. We have folks in the opposition party, which is the Democrat Party, that would be willing to compromise the military operation because they disagree with the policy, or they just want to get on social media or on the Sunday talk shows and say how they stopped this horrible thing from happening. Well, hell, it's not a horrible thing. It's a fantastic thing. And, you know, God forbid that more people than 40 or, excuse me, God forbid that people got killed on the ground. But these folks are responsible for killing over 50,000 Americans a year through drug overdoses. More people have died from drug overdoses in the United States of America than all of the casualties that we've sustained in every war from the Revolutionary War up to Syria. So, you know, I'm very sorry. I am truly sorry that people were killed on the ground. But you know what? They've been murdering Americans through poisoning with illicit drugs for decades.
So Iran's complaining that they're owed $1 billion, that they have their teams out there trying to repair their oil industry. They think they're out of luck. Are they out of luck, Congressman?
Yeah. In fact, they are out of luck. So, hey, listen, Venezuela nationalized the oil industry in 1976. Where did that money go? Did they give the American companies fair compensation? I don't think so. So, Iran, I'm sorry. You've been getting this illicit oil for decades now to help fund terrorism. And Russia's been helping Iran also get this stuff through. So the time for this is over. I don't see President Donald J. Trump scratching a check for $1 billion to the mullahs in Iran. I just don't.
Yeah, they got a different message. Don't shoot their people who are rising up. The 86-year-old, the Grand Ayatollah, his health is suffering and his government suffering. Hopefully we turn the page on that soon, too. Congressman Derek Van Orden, love your analysis. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, you're welcome, and Happy New Year, Brian.
Same to you. Meanwhile, the capture of Venezuelan President Maduro, echoing for many the U.S. invasion of Panama that removed military strongman Manuel Noriega. When it comes to scale, though, they couldn't be more different. You got more than 25,000 U.S. military members were involved in that effort in Panama. 23 of our troops were killed. Over 300 were wounded. And by the way, it took 10 days to capture Noriega. Yet no one called that mission a failure and said, why are we doing this? So why is the flawless operation that we just witnessed getting so much criticism? Joining us now is a man that knows a lot about the military, graduated from West Point, was a captain, and part of that operation in Panama to remove that brutal dictator, Senator Dave McCormick. And as a member of Armed Services, Senator, how do you feel today about the way our guys operated?
Well, it was a great day for the Venezuelan people. It was a great day for our military. What an incredible, as the congressman said, an incredible operation that was executed with great competence, great lethality, and what a great day for the president, who demonstrated once again that he's going to fight for America's interests. And Venezuela, under Maduro, was killing Americans, killing Pennsylvania, a major transshipment center. 4,000 Pennsylvanians died last year from drug overdoses. Venezuela is part of the reason for that, and was also a host to Iran and China and Russia, many of our adversaries, where they could essentially launch terrorist kinds of activities on American soil. So this was a fight for America's interests, and the president and the team and the military executed it brilliantly.
So I looked at the 25-page indictment. It's pretty damning. It's a extremely strong case. They say it's very similar to Noriega. I can't believe, can you compare and contrast the way both operations were handled, President H.W. Bush as opposed to President Trump, since you were on the ground then, you know, part of the 82nd Airborne, and now we're witnessing people in play of politics on the Sunday shows today?
Well, let me clarify. I was in the 82nd Airborne at the time, but one brigade went of the three, and it wasn't mine. So I watched this play out, however. And what happened there was dramatically different and wildly successful. Noriega was an indicted criminal. He was a drug overlord, a narco-terrorist in the same way Maduro is and was. And we deployed 25,000 troops. As you said, 23 Americans lost their life. It took 10 days to secure Noriega. And the thing that was different from this moment is that there was bipartisan support. There was a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate, right, and they applauded President Bush's action. And President Bush had moved, just like President Trump did, without telling the Congress in advance because of the risk to American men and women on the ground from a leak.
Senator, there really is bipartisan support, if they were being honest, for this mission. It was the previous president that put a $25 million bounty on his head. This president just upped it to 40. The previous president said, promise free and fair elections so we can use your oil, a dumb deal that was never executed because they thought this guy was honorable. He never was. So now that he's gone, people are seeing pure politics in this. So I want you to hear from Marco Rubio as he says what could come from this. And that is, with the ouster of Maduro, guess who's out to dry? Cuba.
All of the guards that helped protect Maduro, this is well known, their whole spy agency, all that were full of Cubans. I mean, they basically, it's amazing. This poor island took over Venezuela in some cases. One of the biggest problems that Venezuelans have is they have to declare independence from Cuba that tried to basically colonize it from a security standpoint. So, yeah, look, if I lived in Havana and I was in the government, I'd be concerned.
Well, they were getting free oil from Venezuela, and they were getting discounted oil from Mexico, and they both seem to be cutting them off. Now what?
Well, there's a huge pressure on Cuba, but really this is a message to all countries in the Western Hemisphere and really around the world, which is, number one, America has the most lethal, most incredible military capability in the world. Number two, President Trump means what he says, and if he's saying something, he's willing to act on his words. And third, if you are countering and running against America's interest with illicit drug trade, with housing our adversaries or enemies, you're at risk. And that certainly applies to Cuba in spades, because Cuba has been so dependent on Venezuelan oil. By the way, Venezuela has 17% of the world's oil supplies, but yet only exports about 1%. So it's wildly inefficient, but a huge strategic country. And those assets, that oil, is of great importance to the Venezuelan people and to the world.
So we have some critics around the world. Looks like China's deeply shocked and strongly condemns the act. Russia's demanding the release of Maduro. We got to get right on that. We don't want them unhappy. And Iran just says it's a flagrant violation of the country's national sovereignty. And Brazil is upset as well. What should we do about our critics?
Listen, America has to operate, and with President Trump's leadership, it is doing this, in America's best interest. That is the core of American foreign policy. And what was happening in Venezuela was clearly from an illegal tyrant, clearly against America's interest, killing kids in Pennsylvania, killing kids across our country, and also housing our adversaries. So what we should say is that the United States is going to fight for its interest in the Western Hemisphere and around the world under this president. And this was a great example of that capability to do so. No country in the world can match America's power and the moral righteousness of what's going on here.
Are you comfortable with the current vice president staying in charge?
Listen, the president, I think, President Trump has demonstrated America's capability here. We have enormous leverage. The blockade of the oil puts added pressure on Venezuela. And now we'll have to wait and see, as the president and Secretary Rubio have said. Let's see if those leaders now step up and do what's necessary to open up Venezuela to the Venezuelan people. Eventually, there's going to have to be free and fair elections that put good leadership in place. That's our hope and dream for the Venezuelan people. And America needs to help them make that transition. But we should do so with humility. We should do so with humility, because the next phase that we start now is, as I think, likely to be tougher than the last phase.
Real quick, Senator, Tom Cotton said he was briefed along the way about the operation. Were you?
I was not. I think he was briefed in his capacity as chairman of the Intel Committee, which I think is quite appropriate. I've since had exchanges with General Kane and others to get up to speed on things. But listen, the most important thing for a military operation like this is to protect the young men and women mm-hmm. who are putting their lives at risk. And if you share it with Congress, I'm sad to say it's going to get out there, and that puts mm-hmm. Americans at risk. So I think it was very appropriate that the Congress was briefed after the fact, not before the fact.
And when this happened, one of the first person I thought we got a book is Senator Dave McCormick. Senator, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Meanwhile, straight ahead on this show, we're going to dive into the political implications for Trump and the GOP heading into the midterms. Don't move. More One Nation in just a moment, right after this. So Venezuela is at a crossroads. After years of political crisis, they have an economic collapse that they're in the middle of. The country faces mounting pressure for change, you think? President Trump already threatening the new interim leader, Delcy Rodriguez, the former vice president, says if she wants to do something right, the president says she's going to pay a very big price if she doesn't do something right, probably bigger than Maduro. So what's next on electing a new leader? And what is America's role in Venezuela's future? Let's ask these tough questions to the host of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Hugh Hewitt, and Fox News contributor as well, along with distinguished senior fellow with AEI, Danielle Pletka. Danielle, let's start with you. What should the next steps be in Venezuela?
Look, I think we need to figure out whether the vice president is listening to Donald Trump, whether she is actually going to be serious about moving the country towards free and fair elections. If she is, all to the good, then mission accomplished for the United States. But that's the big test. Otherwise, she remains in a partnership with Iran, with China, with our enemies, and that's not what we want. So we need to see this, and it's got to happen fast.
Hugh, you think this vice president could run things? Because the president seems to have done a background check on her and is impressed with her economic background.
President said on Air Force One today, Brian, when asked what comes next, it depends. And I think the president is being candid as usual. Two other things I would reference that have been said in the last 24 hours. Secretary Rubio said in the press conference yesterday, Donald Trump doesn't play games. And at the end of the press conference, President Trump got a little bit philosophical. He said, all of life is a deal. Right now, the question is, what deal are the remaining Chavistas? And it's about 20% of the population. They got a lot of guns. They've got a lot of opportunity to wreak havoc. What are they willing to do in pursuit of free, fair, and frequent elections, free trade, the rule of law, market-based economy, production facility? How cooperative do they want to be? And I think they're looking around that very secure base with 32 dead Cubans. That's what the Cuban government announced tonight, that were supposedly the very elite security team surrounding Maduro. And they've got to be asking themselves, do they really want to argue with Donald Trump at this point, or do they want to have Secretary Rubio give them some advice on how to extricate themselves out of this socialist hellhole that they built over 15 years.
So Danielle, before I have you comment on that, I want you to hear what Marco Rubio said when asked, why didn't you get everybody out, the whole cabinet, interior minister, defense secretary, everybody, including the vice president? Listen to this exchange on Face the Nation.
I'm confused. Are they still wanted by the United States? Why didn't you arrest them if you are taking out the narco-terrorist regime?
You're confused? I don't know why that's confusing to you.
They're still in power.
I mean, it's very simple. You're not going to go in and wrap up. You're going to go in and suck up five people. They're already complaining about this one operation. Imagine the howls we would have from everybody else if we actually had to go and stay there 4 days to capture four other people. We got the top priority. The number one person on the list was the guy who claimed to be the president of the country that he was not, and he was arrested along with his wife, who was also indicted.
So Danielle, he kind of just made her look foolish by her question. And the interior minister evidently is a bad guy. The defense minister is a bad guy. And some people aren't impressed with the vice president. What do you think?
So, look, there are a lot of bad guys. On the other hand, I think Marco Rubio did make Margaret look a little bit foolish, because he's exactly right. This was a police operation. We went in, we took out the president, the falsely claimed president who stole an election. We took out his wife, who was complicit in his crimes. Yes, Absolutely. There are other people in the regime in Venezuela who are people who should be under arrest, who should be indicted, but they are now faced with that choice. And I think that's exactly what Hugh laid out. You know, look, when we talk about transitions to democratic governance from tyranny, it's not just a simple process. And the first thing that needs to happen, and we can say this about Iran and we can say this about Venezuela, is that the security forces need to make a decision. Who are we with? Are we with the people or are we with the regime? Once that decision is made in the right direction, and I think the Trump administration has laid this out to them, they've given them the option, they've said, do the right thing here and everything will be okay. Do the wrong thing and we continue to have options, not just against the vice president, but against the interior minister who's so pally with the Chinese and the Iranians, as well as the defense minister who's a completely bad guy as well.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, Danny is being very kind to Margaret Brennan and all of Legacy Media. You began the show with Derek Van Orden, a SEAL who has operated in Venezuela. Then you went to talk to Dave McCormick, a former 82nd Airborne Air Trooper. And the point is, you started with warriors on the difficulty, the incredible complexity of this mission. And I think we begin there. Then our Legacy Media is asking stupid question after stupid question.
I know.
Loaded it with premises. And our legislators, Democrats especially, like Cory Booker, it's as though, are they stupid, are they ignorant, or are they hypocritical? Article 2, Section 2, Line 1, President of the United States is Commander-in-Chief of the Army and the Navy. This is not a war. If Congress wants to cut off funding, they can. They haven't. But it's almost mind-boggling how dumb people have sounded. And Danny's being very generous to Margaret right there on what she said.
And just on the leadership thing real quick, and I want to talk in the last minute about the implications of the midterms. Edmundo Gonzalez won the election with 70% of the vote. He says he declared on social media, I am the president of Venezuela. What do we do with him?
What we should be doing is seeing who wants to run the election.
Okay.
Sorry, Hugh. Look, what we ought to be doing is asking the Venezuelan people who they want. Yes, of course, he did win the last election because the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Maria Machado, could not run because she was in hiding. What we should be doing is having free and fair elections that elevate the choice of the people. Government rests on the authority of the people. That's no different in America. It should be the way it is in Venezuela. And we should let them make that choice. That's not a choice for Marco Rubio or Donald Trump.
So fresh elections, Hugh, real quick, fresh elections. Do you think?
They don't depend on Operation Midnight Hammer or success in Venezuela. They depend upon economic growth and whether or not inflation is tame. So while this is very good and the president goes from strength to strength, the elections depend upon the economy, and I hope it stays as strong as it did in the third quarter, 4.3% GDP growth.
Danny and Hugh, I think a new team. I think Mark Thiessen's got to be very jealous because you usually do a podcast with him, Danny. Danny, thanks so much, guys. Great job. Appreciate it. Coming up, live reaction from Miami, where celebrations are flooding the streets over the capture of Nicolas Maduro. He's in Brooklyn. Keep it right here, by the way, on One Nation. You can catch me, by the way, on stage Valentine's Day, History, Liberty, and Laughs, streamed on Fox Nation. I know it gets confusing. Fort Myers, go to BrianKilmeade.com. The Reno, Nevada, on May 30th. Don't move. Got powerful scenes of jubilation over in Miami. Venezuelans filling the streets with chants and celebrations over the capture of Nicolas Maduro. Many saying they've lived the consequences of socialism firsthand and are glad that he's in jail. Now it's time to bring in a person who talked to a lot of those people, the author of two FBIs, Fox News contributor, and we know her as best-selling author now, Nicole Parker, an FBI agent. Nicole, you're in Miami talking to people. What's the feeling in the streets? Because I'm watching the other networks. They're pointing out people upset at Donald Trump for getting rid of Maduro. What did you find?
I didn't see any of that, not at all. In Miami, Florida, particularly in Doral, all of South Florida is celebrating. It was so powerful, and I was honored to be a part of history. This is an epic moment, Brian, that these individuals have been waiting for over 25 years. There was celebration, there was joy, there was excitement, there was hope for liberation and for freedom of their country that has been taken over, and they love President Trump.
You know, it's amazing. We watched TDA breach our borders, create havoc in our cities for the last 4 years. I didn't see a lot of people that upset. They were upset that they were asking Mayorkas about it. And yet people want to portray it as, if you looked at what happened in New York City, Chicago, Minneapolis to a degree, these organized protests that were taking place, you would think we replaced the most popular leader in the world. And that's not the case. Is it tough for you to wrap your head around?
It's extremely tough for me to wrap my head around because, again, as a special agent, I was literally fighting the battle between good and evil. And it almost seems to me that there are certain Democrats, liberals, and progressives that have such disdain for President Trump, they would rather see a dictator taking over Venezuela, causing hell and torture for their people, murder, death, pain, suffering. A third of their country has been forced to leave, not because they wanted to, but because they were in fear for their lives. And to see people, Americans, that are siding with this is appalling to me. It's shocking. But again, I'm seeing this pattern of this happening in our country, particularly in the last couple years. And I truly believe that the disgust and hate they have for President Trump, if President Trump had a cure for cancer tomorrow morning, they would come out and just say he was an awful person and that cancer, you know, that he's horrible and how dare he cure cancer. It's illogical. It's sick. But I'll tell you, the Venezuelans, I don't see one Venezuelan complaining about what President Trump did. They are celebrating. Right. They love him. They love Pete Hegseth. They love Pam Bondi. And they are so appreciative.
Yeah, 8 million have left their country minimum. Meanwhile, the charges that Maduro will face on Monday, he's going to be in court, I think, narco-terrorism conspiracy, cocaine importation conspiracy, possession of machine guns, destructive devices, conspiracy to possess machine guns, destructive devices against the U.S. And it's about 25 pages deep, and it's extremely thorough. This is some serious charges, just like Noriega faced.
Correct. I think this is a very solid indictment. Again, this is a superseding indictment. The initial indictment happened under the first Trump administration in 2020. That's important to note. But again, it's a 25-page indictment. I read through it. There are four counts. There are six individuals that have been charged. And at this point, two of those individuals, Maduro and his wife, have been brought to the United States. They will face their arraignment tomorrow in the Southern District of New York. And again, this is a typical criminal case, but this is not new to Americans. Like you mentioned, Noriega, we've been through something like this. But Americans can expect for this to be a lengthy trial. Many things that they will contest, there will be appeals, there will be legal challenges. But at the end of the day, I think that the evidence is mounting.
Right.
And I think that, you know, let the truth speak for itself. But again, what the Venezuelans have been exposed to is just horrific. It is disgusting. But frankly, tons of cocaine have been brought to the United States Venezuela.
Which I want to talk about, too, because the cocaine, you think Venezuelan, made in Colombia, traffics through Venezuela. I got it. But if you want to stop fentanyl, you got to stop Mexico. Here's when Marco Rubio was asked about that. The President Trump was asked about that on Fox and Friends. Listen.
The cartels are running Mexico. She's not running Mexico. The cartels are running Mexico. And we could be politically correct and be nice and say, oh, yes, she is. No, she's very, you know, she's very frightened of the cartels. They're running Mexico. And I've asked her numerous times, would you like us to take out the cartels? No, Mr. President. No, please.
So that's President Sheinbaum. So she's going to be next. And if we're serious, Mexico's got to be dealt with. How do we deal with it?
Well, I think that they're on notice. And frankly, I think that all of our foreign adversaries are on notice. And I think that they know that Trump, when he says he's going to do something, he will deliver. And he has shown that with an impeccable, perfect operation that took place. But again, keep note that Venezuela has been used as the forward base for Iran, for China, for Russia, for Cuba. Those days are over, and it's going to take some time. But again, Mexico, be on notice, because you could be next. I think that the Cubans here in Miami are celebrating just as much as the Venezuelans are, because you know what they're hoping? They're hoping that their country will be next. And that is why they love this administration, because they have hope for the first time. Under the last administration, it was sanctions, it was this, it was that. Oh, please don't do that. Trump, You mess around, you will find out.
Exactly. And I think if we're serious about drugs, it's got to be Mexico. And but if we're serious about getting rid of communism, it's got to be Cuba. Why not both? Thanks, Nicole. Appreciate it, Nicole. Appreciate your expertise.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the success of the book. Straight ahead.
Thank you.
Trump facing major criticism over the Maduro capture from the likes of Zohran Mamdani and Kamala Harris. What they had to say next. And don't forget, follow me on social media. You got Rumble, Instagram, X, Facebook. Pick your favorite venue. We'll do it. Join the Culper Club on Locals and be part of the exclusive group. More One Nation in just a moment.
This was an illegal, unconstitutional regime change effort.
This is illegal. It's unjustified.
I called the president and spoke with him directly to register my opposition to this act and to make clear that it was an opposition based on being opposed to a pursuit of regime change, to the violation of federal international law.
Right. Our new mayors have to weigh in on our foreign policy. Venezuelan fallout from the left. President Trump facing criticism for capturing one of the world's most wanted men. But some Democrats are increasingly frustrated with their party's response. Joining me now, Sid Rosenberg, host of the number one talk radio show in America, right here in New York on WABC. Sid, great to see you.
You too.
The mayor of New York for a couple of days now called the president to register his displeasure. Your thoughts?
Well, it's ridiculous, the whole thing. I mean, he was briefed by President Trump. I think we both know the president pretty well. I doubt he was briefed, okay? Let's start right there. But look, his response was predictable, right? We knew he would go that route. But when the president met with him in his office, the president was not just civil because President Trump is a mensch. He was actually cordial. That's over. As soon as this guy mounts off again tomorrow morning, President Trump is going to tell him the way he really feels, which is the way I feel, which is Mamdani's a creep, he's a bad guy, and he's not concerned about New Yorkers or Americans first.
So Kamala Harris, somebody I know you look up to, said this, Donald Trump's actions in Venezuela do not make America safer, stronger, or more affordable. That Maduro is brutal, illegitimate dictator does not change that fact that this action was both unlawful and unwise. She goes on. So she's weighing in. This showing she thinks of herself as a presidential candidate.
Well, she's going to try again, I think, right? Unless she tries to be to replace Newsom in California. But listen, the reason why I have success in New York is I'm a very simple guy, Brian, okay? This is a great show tonight. You've got one smart person after another. I'm not that smart. Here's what I'll tell you, okay? China, Russia, Iran, Mamdani, Hochul, Hamas. If they don't like it, it's good. And that's what Trump did. President Trump did an amazing thing here. I was in Miami, like Nicole Parker. They were celebrating in the streets. On the streets of Venezuela, they're in tears. What do I care about some schmuck senator from New York or some pudgy congressman from New Jersey? The fact is, the people that live with this, they are crying because freedom is moments away.
Sid, you came in one day early from your vacation for us. I appreciate it. But on the ground was Griff Jenkins to talk to the New York City protesters on Donald Trump's actions. Watch.
Hands off Venezuela!
Hands off Venezuela!
Stop bombing Venezuela!
It's a criminal act by U.S. imperialism. You know, we absolutely oppose this. This is imperialist bullying.
Leave Venezuela
no more
alone. U.S. out of Venezuela.
Wars.
Venezuela has a great
Venezuela's
progressive agenda that it was implementing. The United States has tried to destroy
This is your city.
Well,
this is your city.
Grip
How embarrassing
was,
is that?
I mean, Grip wasn't exactly outside a Mensa meeting when you got a hold of those people. But this is my city. Those are the same people that vote for people like Mamdani and Eric Adams and Bill de Blasio and Chuck Schumer and Kathy Hochul. That's why New York is such a mess. But they're wrong. The truth is the Venezuelan people are thrilled. This is a great thing. President Trump, he promised he would do stuff like this, and he keeps his promises. That's the bottom line. Maduro's a very, very bad guy. This guy is a glorified drug dealer. He's a murderer. He's a thug. Why would anybody be upset that he's out of power?
So, Sid, at about 2:30 in the morning when this operation became public, this group started making their phone chains. The People's Forum, the Answer Coalition, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, Code Pink. the same group that protested and blew up Tesla cars, anti-Israel protests, anti-Trump protests, George Floyd protests. These are socialist groups originally organized outside our borders that immediately just take action. They don't know anything about Venezuela, Tesla, or anything. They're just against this country. Does that worry you that this type of opposition is so organized and growing?
Of course it worries me. You know, George Soros and there's many other groups I could talk about that do this all the time. You will see the same exact people from Occupy Wall Street to pro-Hamas to what we saw last night at 2:30 in the morning. But I will say this, and here's where the media lies to you, okay? They make it seem like it's 50-50. 50% of the people are angry about this, 50% are happy. That's not true. The overwhelming majority of Americans who are sane people, good people, who love President Trump, know he's doing a fantastic job. He's the best president ever. They know this was a terrific operation. The people in Venezuela who live with this every single day, they know this was a great operation. So don't believe the media. Don't believe these DSA groups. Don't believe Bernie Sanders and Mamdani. The truth is America knows this is a big win for President Trump.
So you weren't there for inauguration. You didn't go to the block party afterwards, which had no bathrooms, no music, no refreshments. He is officially the mayor. Do you notice no New York presence for even Democrats there? It was a Vermont senator. There was a Queens congresswoman,
yeah.
But there was no New York senators there.
Well, there was one guy who actually ran against Mamdani who was there. His name is Curtis Sliwa, which that bothered me, to be honest. But the fact is that people had to jump on his bandwagon at the very end because they're Democrats. They don't like him. They know he's bad for the country. And the DSA is very, very dangerous. So a lot of the people that jumped on his bandwagon late to make sure he got the win, they will start to push back now. And President Trump, I'm telling you, he's going to come down very hard on this guy because eventually, sooner than later, maybe tomorrow, Mamdani's going to say something or do something that's going to piss off our great president, and Trump is going to hammer him like a hammer to nails.
And I think he gave him a chance.
Yeah.
And I think going to comment on foreign policy, but also shows that when you're for Maduro, this guy is in New York. This is going to be a New York story.
He's for Maduro. He's for Hamas.
Right.
This is what this guy does. This is no surprise, again.
Right.
But the rest of the world become very aware how dangerous Mamdani is.
So here we go. Sneak peek of the week. It's going to help you on your radio show. Ready? Here are the big stories for this week coming up. Nicolas Maduro will be arraigned in New York after indictments on narco-terrorism, some other things. Sid, make sure you pay attention.
Okay.
The Trump administration will hold a classified briefing finally for congressmen and women. The Senate is expected to vote on a war powers measure. Democrats are upset they didn't ask permission. And we also know this. There's a hearing Wednesday on the massive Somali fraud ring in Minnesota. All right? These are things you could be covering.
Of course.
Also, Sid has a sports background.
A big
NFL
one.
Playoffs start
yes.
Saturday. And when you came in, Pittsburgh was leading Baltimore. Am I correct?
Yeah, they were 13-10. And today, the Denver Broncos, for the eighth time, knocked up the one spot inside the AFC.
Besides that, he doesn't watch much football.
I don't care.
Coming up on the Brian Kilmeade radio show, you're going to love it. Amongst my great roster of guests are these three great people, Jim Trusty, Congressman Buddy Carter, who wants to be senator. Be sure to watch Fox and Friends. Amongst my great roster of guests, Senator John Fetterman,
wow.
FBI Director Kash Patel.
Oof.
And always keep it right here on Fox News. Stay within yourself. Do we look forward to your show?
Yeah, we got a big show coming up tomorrow. I've got the same people you've got. And Trump.
Sid, thanks so much.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.